Begin to read together at verse number 10. Break into the chapter at verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 4, begin to read at verse 10. Let's hear the word of God. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleepiness is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Our text is verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And friend, with our Bibles open, let's bow before God. Let's take the prayer of Samuel upon our hearts. When he prayed, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." We need a word from God. We know God will bless the reading of his word, but we need a word for all our hearts. So let's all just seek the Lord together. Let's all pray together. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the quietness of this meeting house, we draw aside now into thy presence, in Jesus' name and in the merits of redeeming blood. And Father, we come to thee at this juncture in the service. We realize we've come to the most important part of any service, the preaching of the Word of God. Father, close us in with thee. O God, purge the atmosphere in the blood of the Lamb. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost. Lord, thy people need a word, and we pray that thou would give it this morning. Lord, I confess my inadequacy before thee to deal with the moments that are now before me. I commit myself into the hands of God. And thou hast said, Lord, certainly I will be with thee. And I pray now, O Father in heaven, that thou would empty me of self and of sin, and wash me completely in atoning blood, and fill me with the Holy Ghost and with power, and let the kingdom of God and of grace be extended in this meeting house. Bless thy people. Let thy word run on a free course and be glorified. And may the Lamb upon the throne be praised, and may God's great name be honored. Answer prayer in heaven, your dwelling place, and leave us not to ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. It was Martin Luther who said, "I am more afraid of my own heart than the Pope and all his cardinals." Thomas Manton said, "There is nothing in the life but what was first in the heart." The fall of man began in the heart. The Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke of the heart of man when he said, "Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies." Jeremiah, under inspiration, penned the words, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." David's adultery began in the heart. Samson's great fall began in the heart. We put it all together, friends, we see, and we begin to look at this subject, we begin to look at a subject that is of vital importance to the heart of every believer in this place. What we must do in a situation and before a text like this is, we've got to do what Moses did at the burning bush. We've got to stop and draw aside and see what the Lord would say to us this morning from this text. To those here who do desire to walk with God, and we must draw alongside and see what the Lord would say to each one of us. Because, my dear friend, it is true that what any man or woman, preacher included, in this congregation this morning, what they are in their heart, that is what they are. God looks on the heart. And what each one of us are in the heart, that is exactly what we are. Man may look on the outward appearance, but God looks in the heart. And I want to speak this morning just from this 23rd verse, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." I want to speak on an exhortation to godliness. An exhortation to godliness. I want first of all to notice that this exhortation to godliness, its origin is divine. It's God that's speaking here. We all know that, I'm sure that Solomon is the penman of this book, but my dear friend, all Scripture, as we know, is given by inspiration of God. And thus we see there's a greater than Solomon here. The Lord's speaking. The Lord's addressing His people. In Proverbs, the word heart itself appears 84 times. That's enough to tell us what the Lord, the importance He's drawn to this subject. If you turn with me to chapter 2, we'll see the first time the word heart is mentioned. Proverbs chapter 2. And there the Lord says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." There we have that wisdom and understanding in the heart come by receiving the Word of God. Go over a page to chapter 3. And again the Lord's dealing with His people in verse 5, and He says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding." Or Proverbs 23, don't turn there for the sake of time, but the Lord says to His people, "My son, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart." And of course our text, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We can see that just by these few verses, that the keeping of the heart, the exhortation is from God. And of course we know that. We who know our hearts, because unregenerate man would never want to keep his heart with all diligence. He wants to gratify the desires of a sinful heart. He wants to follow the sin that's there. That's what he wants to do. And yet the Lord comes with this exhortation to us all this morning. Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The first time the word heart is used in the Bible, let's turn to it. Book of Genesis. Again the Lord speaking. Genesis chapter 6. You know this portion well. God's about to destroy the world by a flood. And God says to Noah in Genesis chapter 6 verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Here we have the days of Noah. God puts His finger on the spring out of which all the wickedness flowed, the heart of man. The heart of man truly deceitful, above all things, and desperately wicked. Yes, friend, the one that's speaking here this morning is the Lord. This exhortation is divine in origin. The one that's addressing us is the one that it was said of in John chapter 2. "He needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." And I tell you, that is a solemn fact for us all this morning in this public worship service. Our hearts are open before the one with whom we have to do. Christ, who knew what was in man, knows to exhort them to keep the heart with all diligence. It was Spurgeon that said, "Holiness and godliness is the visible side of salvation. It's not an option. It's the will of God for His church." This exhortation, it's divine in origin. But secondly, going back to Proverbs chapter 4, it's a definite requirement. What exactly is this text saying? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The thought is of a guard in a prison. That's the thought here. A guard in a prison, always alert, always knowing his responsibility. The guard would know the prison well. He would know the layout of it. He would know it. He would guard it. He would do his patrols. He would know what he didn't want coming into the prison because of what something got in that shouldn't be there. Others would get out. And he knows that and he guards it. That's the thought. And keeping the heart, is it to guard it, to watch it, to know it. And dear believer, why do we need to guard our hearts? Because if you don't know your heart, friend, the devil knows it. Have you ever asked yourself, dear believer, why we always fall in the same area? Why we always fail the Lord in the same part of our life? I ask myself it, but it's clear the devil knows my heart. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what lures us. He knows what draws us. And the Lord comes alongside and he says, keep your heart with all diligence. Guard it. Know it. Know every recess of it. Know what comes into it. Because what goes into it will affect what comes out of it. Oh, the Lord says, guard your heart. Guard the affections. Don't be slack for a moment. That's what the word means. Don't be slack for a moment. Because you have an enemy. You have an enemy who knows your heart. He knows your weakness. He knows all about you. It was that great preacher of the Word and Bible commentator Matthew Henry who said, there are many ways of keeping things. By care, by strength, by calling on help. We must use them all, friends, to keep our hearts. We must use them all to keep our hearts. Dear believer, let me ask you this morning. Have you a heart for God? Or have you grown cold? Is there one in this meeting this morning and the Lord would say to you, you've drawn near with your mouth, with your lips, you've sang the praise, but your heart's far from me. Oh, thank you of Christ. You know what can happen to the best of saints. Turn with me to Luke 22. Luke 22. Here's Peter. Peter at this point in his life, he's just gone through the motions. He's just gone through the motions. It's the most amazing portion. The Lord brings a word to Peter. Verse 31 of chapter 22 of Luke. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The Lord's telling Simon, Simon, look, the attack of the devil is imminent. It's on its way. And I'm praying for you, Simon. And it never enters Peter's head that he might need to pray. It never enters Peter's head that he might need to go and have a time of prayer. That he might need to be in prayer. No, Peter just comes out with a foolish boast. Verse 33, and he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready. No, Peter, you're not ready. For you're not keeping your heart with all diligence. You see, Peter was, his mind was in other things. Look at verse 24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. My friend, that's an amazing saying. Golgotha and Gethsemane is casting its shadow upon the Savior. They've just left the communion feast. And they're having this feud among themselves, who's the greatest, if they'd only lifted their eyes. If they'd only lifted their eyes to the Savior, if they'd only kept their heart with all diligence. And then the Lord brings Peter this word. He's receiving a word from God and it doesn't even affect him. Oh, I'm ready. He's just gone through the motions. He's just gone through the motions. You all know the story. Verse 60 tells us, and Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. The third time he denied him. The cock crowed. And then Christ looked on him. And then he remembered. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Oh, Peter, if you'd only kept your heart with all diligence. What tears could have been done away with? And what looked, who was it looked on him, friend? What broke Peter? He saw a lamb on the way to the slaughter. And it broke him. Maybe you're here today, friend, and your heart's away. You need to look afresh to Christ. You need to see Him on His way to the cross. You need to see Him there for sinners. You need to see Him there for you. You need to come again to Him. Happened to Peter, it'll happen to any of us. Oh, Peter, if you'd only kept your heart with all diligence. The heart of man, the heart of the believer. Maybe you're here and you have bitterness in the heart. That can happen. Again, let's go through the scriptures. Turn with me to Exodus 15. Exodus 15. Exodus 15. Verse 23. We read there. The children of Israel are in the wilderness. Verse 23 says, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. That's what the word Marah means. It means bitterness. But my friend, it also can mean provocation, can mean rebellious, it can mean disobedience. It's the same word as used in the Psalm 107. Don't turn to it. Where the Lord said, because they rebelled against the word of the Lord, they marred against God. My friend, what's the cure for bitterness? Even among the Lord's people. What's the cure for sin of any description? Look at verse 25 of Exodus 15. Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. The Lord showed him a tree. There it is, friend. Peter, with a wayward heart, he saw the lamb on the way to the slaughter. For a heart that's bitter, my friend, take it to Calvary. Get it under the blood. Get it under the blood. Have your heart cleansed and washed again. Remember David again, chief man of God, leader of the work of God, King of Israel. In the 86th Psalm, he has to pray, Lord, unite my heart. Unite my heart. We all know the struggles, but when David prayed, he began to pray. You look at the Psalm later, he began to pray upon the ground of redemption, what God had done for his soul. He began to plead that the Lord had brought him from sin and from the pit. He began to plead the sacrifice. My friend, there's the answer for a wayward heart. There's the answer for a heart that has lost out with God. I was challenged in my own heart this week. So often we look at things around us in the world and things happen and we're touched by it and we're annoyed by it. And yet in my evening devotions one night this week, I tell you this very honestly, I was reading of the cross. As I was reading about it, I thought, how can I read this and sit here so cold? Friend, how do you feel when you read of the cross? How do you feel when you read of the Savior going to the cross? See what I mean? Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. A definite requirement, but thirdly, the detailed reason that's given. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4. The detailed reason that's given. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It was Charles Spurgeon again who said that if a reservoir is polluted, it'll affect everywhere it goes. It'll affect all that it flows to. And my dear friend, this morning in Coquille, there's none of us islands. Out of our heart are the issues of life. And how we live and what comes into our hearts will inevitably affect all around us. That word issue, it means going forth. It means outgoings. Out of it are the outgoings of life. I'll show you what the word means. Turn with me to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. And there we read in verse number 9 of chapter 17. Joshua chapter 17, verse 9. Joshua chapter 17, verse 9. And the coast descended, verse 9, and the coast descended onto the river Cana, southward of the river. These cities of Ephraim are among the cities of Manasseh, and the coasts of Manasseh also was on the north side of the river, and the outgoings of it were at the sea. There's the same word, the issues of it. It's speaking of where this great river flows into the sea. You get the picture? All that the river brought with it, all that was in the river, all the rubbish that had been through into and upstream, everything that it takes along in its torrent, its outgoings are seen when it flows into the sea. Keep the heart with all diligence. For the outgoings of it, where are they going to be seen? Where are they going to be seen? They're going to be seen, as we see in verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth. They're going to be seen where the feet take us. They're going to be seen where our eyes look. They're going to be seen where our heart goes. The outgoings. See what the Lord's saying to us here this morning? What you let into your heart has got to come out. It'll be seen with the way you speak. Your neighbours will see it. Your family friends will see it. It'll be seen where your feet take you. It'll be seen how you look. It'll be seen at all, friend. The Lord says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And there are some, turn with me to Genesis 13, to see this example of a man who didn't keep his heart. Genesis 13. Again, you know these stories well. Genesis 13. You know the story of Abraham and Lot. Genesis 13, verse 7. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy brethren and my brethren, herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Genesis 13. But look at verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes. Lot lifted up his eyes. And he beheld all the plain of Jordan. And verse 12 tells us, at the end of the verse, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. His feet took him where his heart wanted to go, friend. His feet took him where his heart wanted to go. But friend, though Lot escaped in the overthrow, his wife didn't escape. His two sons-in-laws didn't escape. Oh yes, Lot was a saved man, but he was walking so far from God. And his heart took him. His feet took him to where his heart wanted to go. And what a price he paid. What a price he paid, my dear friend. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Maybe you're here and you've backslidden completely. Maybe you're here again and I address you, you've lost out with God completely. Oh, my friend, see today what you need to do. So you need to come afresh to the Lord. Whatever it is that's robbing you of blessing, or whoever it is, get rid of it. In this first month of the new year, say, I will not let this rob me any longer of the blessing of God in my life. I have one life to live, and I must live it for God. And no friend, if you do that, there's pardon with the Lord. There's mercy with the Lord. Whatever it is, get rid of it. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it, the issues of life. In Proverbs 4, in the exact setting of it, Solomon's talking to his son. Young people here this morning in this congregation, keep your heart. Give it to the Lord while you're young. Because I'll tell you this, the devil's aim is to destroy you in life and damn you in death. That's his aim. And it's the Lord that's speaking. And he knows that we all have an enemy of the soul. And he knows that not all that die in our beloved Ulster go to heaven. He says to us, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It will affect everything. It will ultimately affect your eternity. Keep thy heart with all diligence. But then there's a divine reservoir supply. The Lord doesn't ever ask His people to do anything that He doesn't give them the grace to do. We've looked today at the divine origin of this text, its definite requirement, the reason given, it affects everything. But to do the will of God, my friend, there's a divine reservoir of grace from the one who is full of truth and grace. John chapter 1, 16 says this, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Generations of God's people have been drawn from this reservoir. You'll never exhaust it. It's still full. The Lord says, friend, there's grace for every trial. Draw from it. We're saved by grace. We're justified by grace. But friend, we are not sanctified by our works. We're sanctified by grace. We're sanctified by grace as God enables us. For that grace that He gives as we draw from Him, as we draw from the fullness that there is in Christ and in all the bounty that there is there to live more and more unto God and die more and more unto sin. The Lord Jesus never asked anybody to do anything that He didn't give them the grace to do. Remember that woman in Luke chapter 9? She had a heart problem, an issue of blood. The friend grasped what she grasped. She knew that if she got to Christ, all she needed was in Him. And she knew that only a touch would cure her heart. And friend, she got that touch. And the Lord said, I perceive that virtue's gone out of me. Somebody's touched me. Tell me, dear believer, have you met with the Lord this morning? Have you called upon Him? Have you had that touch that you need? Oh, friend, see what there is in Christ. Pray every day, dear friend of mine, that the Lord will fill you with the Holy Ghost. That the flesh shall not control me today. We all know how that feels. To deal with a day badly. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Here's the will of God for His church. Ephesians 5 verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We all know sadly what a drunk man is. Sadly, some by experience. But my friend, a drunk man is somebody that's controlled by drink. It affects his walk. It affects his talk. It affects how he thinks. It affects how he behaves. It gives him courage that he never had. Paul says, don't be like that. But let that illustration, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Ghost control your talk. Let the Holy Ghost control your walk and where you go and how you think. And my friend, that will keep your heart with all diligence. There's a resource to draw from. A reservoir of grace. See, turn with me again. Let's go through the scriptures here. To the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter. And again, Peter deals with this subject. Paul's dealing with it. Peter's dealing with it here. And he's speaking to the church. And he says to them in verse 2 of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that have called us to glory and virtue. Peter's telling them it's by the divine power. Can you see that? It's what we draw from Christ. that enables us to live the Christian life. We're not going to be holy by gritting our teeth every morning and saying, I am not doing that again. That's not going to work. We've got to draw from Christ. Psalmist David himself prayed, Lord, create in me a clean heart. It's drawn from that fullness that there is in the Saviour. Fullness that there is in Christ, that we might live for Christ. That we might walk with God. You think of the martyrs. They went to their death. How did they do it, friend? How did they face it? They drew from the divine strength. God gave them grace. God filled them and blessed them. Made them a witness for Him right to the moment they went to glory. Right from the moment they went to glory. This Bible tells of young men who were a blessing. Teenagers. Tells of Joseph. Tells of Simeon. There in the temple, an old man. But friend, whatever age they were, they all drew from that great divine resource that was in Christ. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. A divine resource to draw from, but I'm going to close. A definite response required from such a text. The Bible teaches that godliness precedes blessing. It's the way to blessing. It's the way to power. But maybe you're here this morning and I've dealt with a backslider, and friend, you need to come home. You need to come back. You need to come back to Christ. In closing, I want to deal with the unsaved. We're absolutely delighted you're here this morning. But friend, you know nothing of heart religion. You know nothing of a heart for Christ. Because you don't want Christ. Your heart's still unregenerate. It's never been washed in the blood. You've never been saved. You've never been to Christ. And friend, your predicament this morning is awful. I can't say that strongly enough. Because if you die, you'll perish. If you die without that heart of yours being taken from the state that it's in right now, at enmity with God, against God, wanting only to live for self and sin, and my friend, if that never changes, you'll go to hell. You never kept your heart with all diligence. You never got it to the cross. You've never been washed. You've never been justified. What an awful thing for someone who has sat under the preaching that this church has afforded over years gone by to leave this place of mourn and perish because they never kept their heart. They had only a heart for the world, a heart for sin. Therefore, when they died, they went where their heart wanted to go. And they went to the one they served in time. And they were lost. Definite response needed. My friend, keep your heart with all diligence. To the Lord's people, Lord, draw from that grace. Draw from the fullness there is in Christ. My friend, if you're here and you're not saved or you're backslidden, whatever the need is, you need to get to Christ. You need to get to Him now. Just where you sit in this pew. Forget about a student before you, that's completely irrelevant. See, the Lord's dealing with your heart this morning. And what you do with this will determine ultimately how you live on earth. How you die in death. And sinner, where you go for eternity. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, Let all that has been of man here fall to the ground. But let all that has been of God live on in the hearts of all gathered before Thee. Lord, I'm a stranger here, but Thou knowest every heart. O God, meet the need of it. Lord, take away the deadness from my heart. Set us all ablaze for God. Restore the backslidden. Lord, it's them today, it could be us tomorrow. Save the lost. Do a work. Glorify the Lamb. Build the church. Exalt the Saviour. We pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Taking our hymn books, closing praise, 480. 480, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but lost, and pour contempt on all my pride. We'll just stand and sing this hymn, sing it prayerfully unto the Lord. Let's stand and sing hymn number 480. God and Father in heaven, we pray that Thy word will live on in every heart. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and power of God the Holy Ghost rest, remain, and abide in all redeemed with precious blood, now and then forevermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.